from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Coming up at 11:30, we're going to go a little more in-depth on retail theft and Target's decision to shut down some stores, including two in Seattle, and what some experts are saying about why organized retail theft has become such a huge thing. Heather is going to join us and go in depth on that coming up at 11:30, so you won't want to miss that. But right now, before we get to agree to disagree, we're going to do a little something on our top story, and that is
6-2 Mariners, the 1-1 Alvarez swinging a line shot center field, going back as Julio, he's there, leaps up and he makes the catch on the run, and the ball game is now over. The Mariners win it 6-2 over the Houston Astros, and the Mariners are just a half game back of Houston for that third wild card spot.
Okay, so you heard Mike Salk say last night was must win, tonight is must win. How are you going to be watching the game, or are you?
I'll be watching at home. I think, I'm going to be home for the first time before 5 o'clock in a long time.
I know. I can hear the fatigue in your voice.
Yeah.
I'm going to be
on my usual spot, corner of the couch. The cat's hanging out, chilling.
Superstitions? Anything you're going to do?
The only thing I'll do, anytime I watch either, I'll share something with you. If I watch a Mariner game or a Seahawk game, I have to watch them in something Mariner or Seahawk.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to wear some Mariner stuff when I watch it. That's my only thing. I can't just sit there on the couch with nothing on. You got to put a little something on it.
Yeah.
It's like walking around with no underwear. You know what I mean?
More than one of our listeners said, I might have been that lucky charm. I was in the stadium. I'm not going to be able to be in the stadium. I'm not going to be able to watch any other games.
Wait, so you're not going tonight?
I'm not going tonight. But I am going to be watching, and I am wearing. Okay,
so
you
Ursula,
know I don't wear Mariners gear. I am wearing my Mariners.
I'm gonna keep it a buck with you now.
Don't even put it on me.
No.
Yes. You've claimed the mantle.
No,
started the show by saying you and the listeners were the good luck charm.
Yes. So we're going to continue to be the good luck charm, and this is what I wanted to
but
start.
But you're changing.
I'm changing only my location. Not my enthusiasm for our Seattle Mariners.
But you can't claim credit for victory and then absolve yourself of responsibility if we lose.
I wanted to point out that I gave credit to our listeners. I didn't give credit to myself. So I just ask all of you who were doing whatever it was that you were doing, I ask you to please continue to do that because we need your good luck charms. And the Mariners are going to pull it off. What are you going to do, Chef?
I can't watch it. I cannot sit down and watch the game because I am entirely too anxious, which is why I love listening to Rick Riz on the radio call a game. I can be up and about. I can be moving around and doing things at the same time. There's too much anxiety to be stuck on a couch. And I know that this is going to be the year where if the Mariners lose and Matthew is with me watching that game, if I turn on my phone at the end of the game, I will have one of those videos of the little kid crying at the screen and saying, but what if they lose? And I just don't want to put him through that. Yeah, like I want to indoctrinate him into a culture of success.
If life was only about the ups, then life would be very boring. You have to have those downs to really enjoy those ups.
But as a parent, right now, don't you want to protect your child from pain as much as possible?
No. You don't.
No,
actually, in all seriousness,
actually, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, you actually don't.
They need to understand that they will also recover from whatever it is. And, you know, not everything is positive, but there's a way to deal even with defeat. However, tonight we're going to be talking about victory.
Well, if you guys are nervous, I'm getting kind of anxious myself because I'm going back to the ballpark tonight and I'm going to change up my outfit. I think my jacket, my Rainer jacket I wore on Monday, Cheney Stadium might have got a little mad. I'm going to switch it up, wear more Mariner gear, and let's see if we can turn things around because I really don't want to go back. I want to see the Mariners win this time. I don't want to see the Astros win this
time. But you were there on Monday, right?
Yes,
I was. Okay, don't point that out, but he's going to be wearing something different, so he's going to be the lucky charm tonight.
Mm-hmm. There
he
we
will
go.
Be the G and Ursula Show lucky charm.
I got to carry the good good luck that you brought
it.
Yesterday.
That's it.
I don't want to see no text messages tomorrow. I don't want to see not one. I'm saying it right now. I'm going to take a pic as soon as the first. I wonder who that first text message is going to be tomorrow. If. Agree to disagree. Brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Okay, let's talk about the best and worst drivers in Washington State. According to the insurance company Quote Wizard, which looked at the rate of dangerous incidents on the road in each city around the state, the worst drivers in Washington reside in Walla Walla. On the west side of the state, Berrien clocks in at number 2, Lake Stevens at number 3, Shoreline at number 5, and Des Moines at number 9. G. Scott, do you believe that there are cities where people drive worse? Any particular examples? Cities where people drive well?
Dang it. I'm so mad because this morning I said no. But then you brought up Berrien. And you brought up Des Moines. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the stress levels or something, but that's accurate.
Really?
They be driving terrible in Berrien. And I think it's the amount of, like, how are you trying to speed on these streets right here? And I've seen a lot of that in Berrien and Des Moines. So I was going to say one answer, and then I changed it based on that, like, yes, when I used to live close to Berrien, and actually when I did live in Berrien, I lived, yes, Normandy now, Park I lived.
Do you think it is because of the density? Do you think it is because of lack of enforcement? Do you think it is because just people are crazier in certain parts, or that they think that they can get away with it? I mean, what do you think it is about Berrien and Des Moines that makes them worse?
I don't know.
Driving. By the way, Des Moines is one of my favorite cities. I was just there about a week ago. One of my good friends lives there, and she always talks about how great it is. And now when I go, I'm like, I get it. It's like one of those little gems that no one knows about,
yeah,
or not enough people know about.
It's like Des Moines is kind of like Edmonds that people don't talk about. One of those cool waterfront,
yes,
communities, right? There's very few that are right on the water. Des Moines, fantastic. As for the best, I think it's of note noting that Eastern Washington has 6 of the top 10 worst driving cities in the state, and only 2 of the cities with the best drivers. Best, Kenmore is number 1, Oak Harbor number 3, Tumwater number 5, Bellevue 6, my own Edmonds clocks in at number 10.
As now, best.
Yes, as okay. best driving cities. Edmonds makes sense, right? Because I consider the worst drivers in Edmonds, under this study, they'd be considered the best. Because if you're driving 20 in a 25, if you're driving 25 in a 30, you're an Edmonds driver. You're very safe. You're one of the best. But you might infuriate the people on the road around you.
Or at least Chef.
I think...
I made it one day without honking, I'll point out.
That's pretty good. I think if Kirkland were on this list, I think Kirkland, I think they need to be number 1.
For best?
Yes.
Why?
You go to Kirkland, man, you know. And especially, shout out to everybody that used to go party, go to Club Dynamite and all them places, Shark, all them places in back in the day. You remember how the Kirkland police used to just be waiting for you late at night, waiting for you as you're on 85th, getting ready to go towards the freeway. Boy, Kirkland's got it. They got it pretty controlled over there.
So there you have the answer. It's like, where is traffic enforced, or where are laws enforced?
Yeah, we know them places.
Or where do they have traffic cameras? That was one of the things that you brought up this morning. You said Ruston, by the way, another gorgeous part.
Yeah, Ruston, Ferkrest.
Western Washington.
For some reason,
everyone slows down.
I don't know why they drive really slow and nice and peaceful in Ferkrest.
You're going to otherwise get busted.
All right, let's get rolling on. If you quit your job after training, should you have to repay your employer? The New York Times took a look at a growing number of workers who are getting sued by their former employees after they quit for the cost of their trainings. It turns out that there's a growing class of workers who, before they get hired, have to sign what's called a training repayment agreement. So if we train you and you quit after a certain amount of time, you're going to be on the hook for that money. They bring up, a physician's assistant whose former employee sued her for $138,000, including $100,000 for loss of business after she quit her job. G. Scott, do you think that is fair for for companies who make workers sign an agreement to repay costs and then they quit? Should they have to repay it?
No. Cost of doing business. Should a boss have to, if a family, if an employer, excuse me, an employee moves from one place to another for the job, and then they're on the job for 6 months and they end up getting fired, should that employer pay for the reimbursement of living arrangements for that person? If the answer is no to that, then the answer should be no to the training that was provided for them to get the job.
And while I understand that sentiment, I would just say if you don't want to live up to the agreement and what is written in the agreement, then don't sign the agreement. And I say that because there are people who will take advantage of one company's training programs and then turn around and start up their own business or do business elsewhere. And then now the company is competing with people it trained. It just makes sense. So logically, now, if it is a mutual thing, and even though they signed an agreement, then I get it. But otherwise, I would say you sign the agreement, you're on the hook.
I disagree because we talk constantly about the free market and how we live in this free market, right? Well, in a free market society, you don't constrain workers with non-competes. You don't constrain workers with training repayment agreements or other shenanigans to basically hamstring them and force you to stay working there. That is the reason why so many workers are immobile in their jobs. A Cornell study found that 10% of professional workers are covered by training repayment agreements. Can you possibly fathom that 10% of the jobs in the United States in professional classes, their training is so critical, so valuable, that all of those employees, they have to continue working there for, let's say, 2 to 4 years. That is basically called forced indentured servitude for below standard pay.
Well, that's, again, I would go back to then don't sign that agreement, don't work for that company if you don't want to abide by the thing.
If that's your
that
industry standard, everyone's picked up on it, too bad.
It's not, though. It's you said 10%.
10% of everyone. It's more common in a lot of industries.
Yeah, no. I think you and I disagree to disagree.
I got to move back to one of our earlier debates in the shows. Don't call me, text first, and never leave a voicemail. And I guess I want to say the younger generation, according to the Washington Post and etiquette experts, the younger generation believes that it is rude to call someone out of the blue. It is more polite to text first. Voicemails are only meant for professional purposes or if you have a highly personal message that should be left in recording form, such as a happy birthday. And both of you guys pushed back on that. So, Ursula, how about I start with you? Why do you think this is ridiculous?
Which part that you have to...
Any and all of it.
Okay. The texting before... I don't... If I need to call somebody, mm-hmm. I'm going to call them. I'm not going to, I don't even know who came up with the rule that you need to text them first. There was a point in time where we would call people. We didn't have the ability to text somebody.
Yes.
Sometimes texting is much more annoying than it is to just talk to someone. You know, sometimes I'm not in a position where I can text.
You can hold down your thumb and press the like.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if you're driving, for example.
Yes.
I would rather someone call and I just press the button and I can talk. So, yeah, there are points in time where it doesn't make sense. The other thing is leaving a voicemail. And now that's supposed to be, again, I'll reiterate what I said earlier, which is if someone calls but they don't leave a voicemail, that is messaging to me that whatever they were calling about was not important enough to leave a voicemail. If you leave a voicemail, I will see that you not only tried calling, you left something. I will listen to it as soon as I can and I will respond more urgently.
Okay. See, I think voicemails, the only purpose they have is like for your doctor's office or something professional. You have a contractor that needs to coordinate something, doctor's office. Hey, your pharmacy calls and lets you know your prescription is ready. But you know what a voicemail is? Voicemail is a chore. When you don't text someone, you're saying, I would like you to open up your phone and I would like you to spend 2 minutes now listening to my voicemail instead of simply transmitting the message via text. You're deciding, I am going to put the burden of this entire time on you instead of me. I think that all of the information can be easily communicated via text. We have voice to text already. There's no point in leaving a voicemail, especially for people like G. Scott who don't have voicemails.
Yeah. And I'm not even joking. And I don't know if this is a joke that my phone is putting on me. But at 11:16, I'm not joking. My phone rang. And that happened. I'm not lying. I've never seen voicemail.
I see it.
I have a voicemail. Like, this ain't funny. Like, I don't know how that is possible.
Oh, someone else is calling you, too. My gosh, your phone is constant.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to come back and figure out who that is on that voicemail. How about
well,
that?
I'm going to tell you that it's likely someone who really needs to get a hold of you. Yeah. If you don't even have voicemail set up and you still got a voicemail.
That's crazy. Since 2006, since the voicemail, since iPhones came out, I ain't had a voicemail. And we talk about this topic and bam, there's a voicemail.
I like that.
17 Rich, years?
I know.
Voicemail?
No. I can't believe it.
17 years.
The only voicemail I don't listen to, I think they actually got rid of it, was our desk phones. There's probably stuff on there since 1978. Okay, no, I mean, 88 when I started.
All right. Coming up next, Heather Bosch is going to come in, and we're going to have our continued conversation about retail theft. Well, Heather Bosch will go more in depth about that. We'll do that next. Gina Schlow.
To the G and Ursula Show. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Wednesday morning. And we talked about it in our top stories. Target has announced that they're going to be shutting stores, a couple of them in Seattle, also one in New York, a couple in San Francisco, a couple in Portland. And the company is blaming organized retail theft and also crime against their employees. And Heather Bosch, when we walked into the studio today, you mentioned that you had done some in-depth reporting on this, and you join us now because you have found out a little bit more about who is involved in the organized retail theft and what is the government doing about it.
Yeah, well, let's focus on the stores that Target is closing down. They're specifically in the U District and Ballard neighborhoods. And Target is calling out theft and organized retail crime, as you mentioned, saying it's threatening the safety of workers and customers. But even if you never encounter a shoplifter,
it hurts legitimate retailers, legitimate businesses, and we, the customer, wind up paying for it in the long run in the form of higher prices.
That's Herb Weisbaum with Checkbook.org. He tells me retail theft is also why you're seeing more items at your local stores under lock and key. Retailers and law enforcement tell me this crime is being driven by organized crime rings who have found a lucrative place to sell their pilfered products.
When criminals steal stuff from a store or create counterfeit merchandise, they have to sell it somewhere. That used to be on a street corner, but now, thanks to the internet, they can sell it on online marketplaces and make a lot of money doing this.
So now the federal government is cracking down. They've passed new rules for online marketplaces, including Amazon and eBay.
Under the Informed Consumer Act, all online marketplaces are required to collect and verify very specific personal and financial information from most high-volume third-party vendors that sell new consumer products on their site.
And they're under pressure to get this done.
If they don't do this, they face a penalty of $50,000 per violation. This statute really has teeth in it.
The idea is that someone legitimately selling a lot of laundry detergent or baby formula can produce those appropriate documents. Someone who's operating a retail theft or counterfeit operation likely can't. Now, the Informed Consumers Act, which took effect over the summer, it's not going after your Aunt Mabel who's downsizing and selling all her worldly goods. It's going after people selling high volumes of new stuff. But Weisbaum says you should really be careful when you shop online.
If you see one person who's supposedly moving and is trying to sell 12 pairs of Nike shoes and they're all brand new and in the box and all have the price tags, well, that may make you think, I wonder if these are stolen.
Guys, this is big criminal business. It's estimated that more than $500 billion in stolen or counterfeit products are sold online worldwide annually. A lot of money here.
Okay, so we talked about the online marketplace. So are we talking about, like,
Talking about Amazon. Yeah, any third-party.
Or Facebook Marketplace, yeah. That kind of thing.
All of these places where third-party sellers can come in and say, hey, I want to sell my Tide Pods to you. People who work in the grocery industry tell me this has been a big problem for a long time. People pilfering these goods and selling them online for whatever they can get, and the unwitting consumers saying, hey, there's a good price on Tide Pods. I'll go for that. What the government's now saying is, look, it's on you, Amazon. It's on you, eBay, to make sure that that person who wants to sell through your site is legit. You've got to make them produce some documents, and then you've got to go back and double check.
What's the punishment for Amazon if they don't?
Thousands of dollars. Thousands and per incident.
For Amazon, that's nothing, well, right? I mean, it obviously, it needs to be curbed at the source, which is, okay, what can you do about these organized rings?
Federal agents are going after them as well, trying to shut those down because it's big business. And this is at the federal level. They're going, the same people who are going after the drug dealers who are trafficking internationally are going after these retail theft rings. It's big organized crime business.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it definitely is. I just don't understand how if Amazon is supplying the platform mm-hmm. for these organized theft rings to operate, it should be more than fines financially. It should be, yo, we're going to stop things until you can figure out a system that prevents these crime rings and these third-party sellers from doing this. Yeah. Either that, or they're basically saying, it's not a big deal. I don't know which one it is, but you'd think that it would be more than... to stop them.
I mean, every once in a while we'll get a press release from the U.S. Attorney for Western Washington's office, and you'll hear, you know, this and this and this was busted. But it is such a huge problem that you could be spending 24/7 and still not really cracking much of it, right?
The problem.
I was going to say, the other thing is, it's these organized retail theft, and we see more and more. I told you the other day, I was at Fred Meyer, and they had toothpaste behind glass. It's to the point where, because a lot of times, and it's not just selling online, but it's also selling. I mean, let's just look at 13th and Jack. Remember the outdoor market that they had there?
Oh, the swap meet.
Yeah, swap meet.
You see that constantly. And they are actually putting up signs in trouble spots in the city reminding people not to buy stuff. I'm not sure a sign is going to do much good. But I did look up the exact penalty for Amazon and other platforms that don't properly vet their third-party sellers. It's $50,120 per violation. The statute also gives the state's authority to ask federal courts for injunctions, civil penalties, and restitution or other compensation for state residents. So a little more behind it, but I'm with you. $50,000 and you're talking Amazon. You know, it's hard to know how much teeth this will actually have in real world.
I'm just amazed at all the different platforms now that you can do it on, right?
Yeah.
Besides Amazon, I know a big deal that I personally never buy from Facebook Marketplace.
I wanted to ask
never.
All of you listening right now, too. I buy off Craigslist. I do. I sell on Craigslist. I have. But anymore, I just do Buy Nothing Group, and I just give because it's too much of a hassle. I really have to vet it, and if I'm going to buy anything on Craigslist, it's usually furniture.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm getting Crest toothpaste on Craigslist, and it's, you know, bulk out of someone's garage, I'm not gelling with that one.
And some of this can be dangerous. Some of this can
be,
because if you are buying baby formula, say online, you don't know if that's been cut or tampered with or any of that nonsense.
I got it. I never say anything about Trevor when he texts in because I just don't. But today, Trevor, I'm going to give you your flowers for this text message. And I think this is probably the best text he's ever sent in. Costco doesn't have a retail theft problem.
Oh, I meant to tell you, you know why? You weren't here yesterday, but nor does Lowe's. You know why?
Why?
Because their CEO believes in hiring enough people and paying them well so that they have great customer service. Was that what you were going to say?
I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going
to
say that.
Because they have enough people to actually deal with customers. Now, and again, not trying to blame the victim, but there's all things that we all can do, including not supporting people who might be, stealing and then selling it.
Yeah, and to your point about the locked up toothpaste in the grocery store these days, I can find two workers at any one time. There are so few people checking out anymore. Everything under. And I found this out because I was desperately looking for someone to unlock the ice cream the other day and could not find anyone.
When you're locking up ice cream, we have some serious problems.
Thanks,
Thank you, Heather.
Your text messages, feedback, and Ursula's words to live by. Coming up next, Gene Ursula. Gene Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. Hope you guys are enjoying the liquid sunshine that's happening out there. It's been a good show so far, but now it's time to get you your text message. What do you got?
Could you start us off, actually?
Target closing two stores in Seattle. Janice says, this has been around for years. I am a former loss prevention manager and did this for 16 years. Organized theft rings have always been a thing. The difference is no more customer service in stores, no more prosecutions, and no consequences.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about all of those things. 425, the reselling issue is legit. I've known people that used to do super couponing and would then sell things like toothpaste and toilet paper in WhatsApp groups. And that was to profit off the coupon discount, not the five-finger kind of discount. Mm.
Should workers have to repay training costs if they quit? 360 says, we are looking at making new officers sign contracts. We send them to the police academy, then they go to another agency.
Jeff and Bonnie Lake says, I do think then don't sign the agreement is a problem. Wait a minute. I think that he's saying that my statement is a problem. The agreement is sometimes a necessity for a job, and someone's financial situation may dictate that they agree or starve. Okay, in that case, then that would be an extreme position.
Yeah. SPD ends AI oversight over body cam footage. J.M. Pialop says the head of SPOG calls police oversight, quote, spying on officers?
Yes. Jason in Puyallup says, if you're on the clock, I feel the company has every right to know everything you do while on the clock.
253 says, regarding AI listening to you at work, the difference between people working in an office and police is that police carry guns and have the ability and authority to kill people as needed. They should be held to the highest standard. We all know exactly why they don't want to be listened to.
On texting before you call and never leaving a voicemail, apparently the new phone etiquette, phone rules. Mike in Portland says, if I answer my phone and I tell my girlfriend I'm busy and I don't have time to talk, but I'll call you later, she's going to tell me, then why did you answer? Facepalm emoji. I love that one.
425 says, hey, older folks who think it's weird we don't pick up the phone. Did you carry your landline in your pocket with you at all times? Or were you only available for calls when you were at home? And did your landline have an option that would allow you to see a quick written message or not? Sending a text instead of a voicemail is simply more efficient.
Doug in Mount Vernon says, hey, son, I'm texting you to let you know that I'm writing you a letter just to see how you're doing. Is that what we're going to get to?
Scenarios. I'm 20 years old and dating a 53-year-old man. Josiah in Cleellum says she can't legally drink, let alone date someone three decades older.
360 says, I'm 63 and I will not even date someone in their 40s.
949 says, half your age plus 7. Minimum dating age. That's right. On the borderline of unacceptable.
On a rich person's fireworks display over Puget Sound, Diane in Bellevue says, I didn't know they were fireworks. I thought maybe I was hearing guns. We and our terrorized dogs holed up in the back bedroom to be safe and try to figure out what it was. Then we heard all sorts of sirens. It was not a good evening for us. And what about all our soldiers with PTSD? With notice, we could have prepared to be away or at least turn up the noise inside the house like we do on July 4th and New Year's. Diane, I am 100% in agreement with you.
I just, maybe I didn't hear right. How long has this been happening?
since 1998, I think, off and on.
My good friend Liz, my good friend Liz in Gig Harbor, she says, well, if it's been happening since 1998, don't they already know it's coming?
No, because it's like every 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
It's not
so
every
it's
year.
Not every single year.
It's so not it's, on the same date.
Exactly. Not in the same location, or it's a kind of general location. And some people said they do give local notice. I think the fire department gave 2 days notice on Facebook.
Or from the Bainbridge.
Like there were a lot of people who were caught off guard. And I think it just would behoove everybody if everyone knew. Then everyone can enjoy if you have the time. Okay. Hello. Are you alive? 425 says, I have 3 sons in their 30s and a 15-year-old daughter, and I constantly have to text, are you alive? I've actually used those words. Are you either are you okay or are you still alive?
Mel on Bainbridge says, I send proofs of life texts to my kids.
Sandy in Covington says, guilty. My dad gets so mad at me and my sister for not texting back right away. Well, what's your rule in terms of texting back? Like, do you have a, as long as we're talking about phone etiquette, do you have a time that you try to get back to people?
Yeah, right away.
All right.
I text back right away. I mean, I don't.
Like, if you don't text back, then I know there's something up.
Yeah, I text back right away. Like, this whole idea of people, like, who they choose to text back to, whatever. If you're texting me and you have my number, that's fine. Now, if you're somebody that's just texting me out of the blue or usually inbox messages asking me for something, won't respond back. All right, Ursula, Words to Live By brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And I was looking for something that felt right today. And this is from comedian Amy Poehler, who says, find a group of people who challenge and inspire you. Spend a lot of time with them and it will change your life. Mm.
Good stuff. That's good.
Just a good reminder. I mean, time is short. And it's important who you choose to spend time with.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a good one.
Like it.
Nick, what do you got?
Well, would you pick up a phone line if I gave you a quick ring, even if there's no spare time or if you're busy with that thing? Would you take a text instead if you're ejected from a call? Or would you rather hear a voice instead of reading print too small? Well, however rare you reach out to your peers, family, or friends, if there's no response for too long, then the bugging's gotta end. But I'd like to bug our M's for another when they've gotta pick up. And if they don't pick up my calls, I'll just have to text them, hey, you still up?
I love it. I got to mention one thing. Listener Kim said about voicemail, and she brought up something that I didn't think of. She said, I have saved messages from my mom who has passed away. It allows me to hear her voice when I miss her, and I will never forget what it sounds like. I also have voicemail messages of my niece and nephews when they were thanking me for gifts or singing me happy birthday. They're now grown adults, and these are priceless. I don't ever want to erase them.
Remember I told you that?
Yeah, I do. I do. And that is a good reminder about voicemail.
It's my biggest regret.
My dad, I'm not strong enough to listen to them yet, but I do have some for my dad and my brother.
Yeah, that's a good text. That's my biggest regret right there.
I know.
All right, good show. Thank you, Ursula.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chef. Thank you, Brother Nick. Hey, the Jack and Spike show comes up next. We appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And as always, be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.